The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We've quietly slipped this morning from the season of Christmas into the season of Epiphany. The tree and the chrismons are gone. The greenery that was on the altar has been put away. There's no more candles in the windows, and the nativity sets, other than my little wise men down there, have been put away and safely stored in their boxes. If you're in tune with the liturgical year, you might know that yesterday, January 6th, was Epiphany. The word Epiphany means manifestation. So Epiphany is the manifestation or the revealing of Christ to the nations. It's the day when we remember the wise men who followed the star and came to visit Jesus from faraway lands. It's the day when Jesus was revealed to them and all nations. And we've now entered the season of Epiphany, which will last right up until Ash Wednesday. And note that I said season. Jesus is not revealed just once on Epiphany, but the revealing continues even in our lives today. Today is the baptism of our Lord, the first Sunday of Epiphany. And Jesus is baptized by John in the river Jordan. And as Jesus rises up out of the water, he sees the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descend on him like a dove. And it's another revelation, this time with the voice of God. A voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, my Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And I love some of the other translations of this. Like when God says, "I take delight in you." And I especially like the New Living Translation, which reads, "You bring me great joy." The paintings of this event are typically in muted colors with a gentle dove descending from the heavens. What could be more beautiful than a dove descending upon Jesus as he rises out of the waters? If we look at this text a little more closely, though, the scene might not be so calm or so peaceful. Note the words that are used. The text says the heavens are torn apart. They're split open. They are rent asunder. That which separated us from God is gone. Nothing separates us anymore. And God is revealed to us in a new way. And that same verb for tearing apart the heavens is used when the curtain of the temple is torn apart at Jesus' crucifixion. And at the crucifixion, God rips apart the grave so that death will be no more. When the heavens are torn open, the Spirit descends like a dove on him. But is that dove so gentle? My family and I took a vacation to Scotland a few years ago. And when we were driving around on the wrong side of the road, I might add, we made a quick decision to go hiking at a place called Arthur's Seat. It's an old volcano that sits just to the east of Edinburgh Castle. And when you make it to the top, you get a panoramic view of the region, and it's absolutely beautiful. So we got out of the car, and we walked over to kind of a staging area for the hike. And suddenly, and I do mean suddenly, hundreds of pigeons from out of nowhere came crashing down on us. And our daughters sat down on the ground, and the pigeons landed on their arms and their hands and their heads and their laps. There was noise, the flapping of the wings of the pigeons, but also the squealing of the girls as they were just delighted. And the pigeons didn't leave as quickly as they came, but we actually had to leave them. And I know there were lots and lots of germs and everything else, but the sheer enormity of the number of birds and their lack of fear of humans and their suddenness brought absolute joy and delight to our girls. And this image comes to mind when I think of the baptism of Jesus. I don't envision this small, single, gentle bird, but I see the heavens being ripped apart and the Holy Spirit crashing through with life and energy and joy, crashing through and revealing to us who Jesus really is, crashing through and changing us. And when the Holy Spirit descends upon us at our baptism, I don't see it as a gentle little nudge either. God is revealed to us, and we see God in a different way. It's a big, noisy deal. It's an epiphany. C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, captures so eloquently the sense of what an epiphany or a revealing might look like by resetting it into a fairy tale. At the home of Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, the children are told about the mysterious being named Aslan. If you're not familiar with the story, Aslan, it's a Turkish word which means lion, is the main character. And for C.S. Lewis, the lion, Aslan, is a representation of Jesus Christ, but in another world. And I want to read just a small section. It's when the beavers reveal to the children the history and the prophecies of Narnia. And it reads, "At the name of Aslan, each of the children felt something jump inside of themselves. Edmund felt a sensation of mysterious horror. Peter felt suddenly brave and adventurous. Susan felt as if some delicious smell or delightful strain of music had just floated by. And Lucy got the feeling you have when you wake up in the morning and realize it's the beginning of the holidays or of summer." When Mr. and Mrs. Beaver revealed Aslan to the children, they began to change. Aslan was in their life now and was never to be the same again. Caroline Lewis, a New Testament professor at Luther Seminary, encourages us to ask, who revealed God to us in ways that perhaps changed us forever? Who ripped apart our understanding of God and showed us some aspect of God that we never imagined? Who made God real and alive for us? I'll never forget a pastor who showed me God in a new way. I'd been through some tough stuff, and without any judgment, he let me express fear and doubt, pain and anguish. He let me question God and ensured me that God's shoulders were big enough to handle anything I put on them. And he changed my relationship with God that day, strengthening my faith in ways that I never imagined. He tore open that curtain that had been closed shut between me and God. I also remember spending time with a beautiful old woman. Although in the last stages of her own life, each time I visited her, she asked about others. And when I prayed with her after the Amen, she kept on going. She wanted to include petitions for her family and her friends. She tore open that curtain and revealed to me a God who is overflowing with grace and with mercy. Who's been that epiphany for you? The one who revealed God to you. The one who showed you a side of God you never imagined. If they're still alive, thank them. I mean it. Thank them this week. And if they're not still alive, tell the story to someone about how they changed your life, how they broke down your curtain, how they enabled the Holy Spirit to come crashing down into your life. As people have revealed God to us, we are also called to be an epiphany to others. We are to tear open the curtains that divide our families or friends or neighbors from God. We are to be the ones to reveal God's grace to another. When we baptize Liam today, have no worries. The heavens will be torn apart and the Holy Spirit will descend upon this child. God promises us that. We may not feel the earth shake or visibly see the Holy Spirit descend, but I am going to watch for that just in case. We, though, like Susan, may sense a delicious smell or a strain of music that may have floated by. Or like Peter, we may feel suddenly brave or adventurous. Or like my daughters, we may be overwhelmed with suddenness and joy. We may get a tear in our eye or a tug on our heartstring when that Holy Spirit crashes into our lives. And for that, I say thanks be to God.